Hello, I'm Tom Moan, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moan for June 17th, 2019.
Well, once again, good morning, fellow pilgrim. What a privilege it is to walk the kingdom path with you and to live in that tension between the kingdom now and the kingdom to come. Jesus is coming again to set up his kingdom on earth, but until that time, that's the business that we're involved in. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I've been talking to you about John 13:14, and I'm going to be talking about these chapters in the next several podcasts. I've been talking about belief and faith and acknowledgement last time and prayed. And as we did this, my son, Matt, who does the recording for me, brought up an idea that I think I don't want to misplace or forget about. So I'm going to ask him to just express his concern because I very, very want to acknowledge that religion is the greatest enemy of God. So, Matt, why don't you just share what it was we were talking about?
Yeah, well, I'm going to get as close as I can here. The thing that came to mind was specifically when you were reading about, talking about a lot during the last one about faith is action.
Action, something you do, yes. So,
yeah, and I'm afraid, sadly, that a lot of people could mishear that or misunderstand it, not through anything that you're saying, but just through their own interpretation. And my fear is that they would confuse action in faith with religious action.
Yes.
And they may or may not be the same thing. There may be something that God's calling you to do that is being involved in a church or doing something like that.
Yeah.
But I feel that that's the easiest mistake to make is for someone to say, well, I feel like, okay, I need to take action. So that means I need to have a quiet time or I need to, and I'm not saying that quiet times are evil. I'm just saying that every single individual who's fully listening with the Spirit alive in them knows that there's, as soon as you start talking about faith being action, that something stirs in their souls.
And they look for something to do.
It could be that the simple thing that God is requiring you to do is for you to do the dishes.
Yes.
You know,
is to
go outside and take a walk or just sit quietly and listen to him. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a religious activity.
That's vitally important.
Yeah, because
That's what religion does.
Religion takes away the Spirit of God and replaces it with dead rote response. And you can't. The response when you're talking about calling people to action.
Yes,
faith is action. Is that same thing that you talked about before in previous podcasts? Is waiting for God to speak and responding.
Right.
And it's don't take. Because I can feel that tendency in people to hear those words and to respond with religious action.
Yes.
And that's the opposite of what you're calling them to. It's to fully respond to what God is saying to you specifically.
That's right. It isn't to necessarily conform to some theological form.
Not at all.
In fact, Paul writes, remember in that 1 Corinthians, he said he was to preach the gospel not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be made void, for the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And he said that the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever, that isn't what he's after.
Right.
He's after people who will say, Father, what do you want of me? What are you saying to me? And he may say, go be a part of this body.
Absolutely.
But oftentimes what you're saying is that we, if we do our religious duty, we're done.
Yeah.
And that's not really true.
Yeah, and you can't mistake a faith response for religion.
Amen.
Because when you fully, honestly, really respond to what God is calling you to do, then it could be something very small that begins to unlock those things that you're holding on to. Or, you know, just because it's just that you've graciously raised me outside of religion. So when I feel those moments, when I can hear somebody taking something that you're saying and
twisting,
shoving religion in there.
Yeah. Oh, I
it
hate
just, it. It just makes me sick. And I can't, so when you were speaking last podcast, I felt like we needed to make sure that distinction was fully realized.
I really appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, because it goes back to the ministry, Matt, of what the Holy Spirit does. He comforts. He counsels. He's a helper. He intercedes. He's an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. In other words, it's God's will being done. It's not religion's will being done. All we have to do is look back on the history of the church, and we find there isn't much difference between the New Testament church and the Old Testament Jewish faith, that they did the same things. You know, they went and did things religiously and never listened to the voice, or rarely listened to the voice of Almighty God. And I want to continue, and I thank Matt for bringing that up, because it's vitally important for us to know the difference between religious activity. I had a friend of mine that years ago used to speak a lot about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, we're not supposed to eat out of that tree. We're supposed to eat out of the tree of life, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. But doing good and evil is not necessarily the will of God at all. In fact, the good out of that bad tree is religion. And I think what Matt was trying to say to us, and said very eloquently, and I just want to agree wholeheartedly, that many times religion tells you to go do things. And in your doing, you're supposed to somehow please God. And it can be even doing a good thing. But doing a good thing apart from the leading of the Holy Spirit and a relationship of life with you and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, will exhaust you. I can remember reading the story about E. Stanley Jones. He came back from a mission trip. He was at Asbury College, I believe, was where this happened. And he said, I was absolutely, totally exhausted being good and doing good things. I can remember Tommy Tyson, the first chaplain at ORU, used to say, my biggest problem is trying to be good. No one is good but God. And he would emphasize that again and again. And I can remember shaking my head saying, well, gee, Tommy, don't we all want to be good? And he would say, yes, but don't get the goodness that comes out of the wrong tree. Just going and doing good things is not necessarily the good that comes out of resurrection life in Jesus. And the only one that God can honor is the honor that comes out of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, not in the doing of good things. And oftentimes that's what happens in the church. Years ago, I was in Chicago, and I went down to a meeting. I won't mention what the group was. And what I'm about to tell you, you'll shake your head and say, oh, come on, Tom. But I would say there were at least 150, 200 ministers there. And this was, quote, the cutting-edge theology of the day back in the 60s. And so I went down there, and they're talking about how we've got to relate to the lost and the needy, and how we've got to do all of these things. And here's the way that we begin to do it. And they had a guy in the back row slapping like that on the pews. And he would beat the pews like this. Boom, boom, boom. Then he would say, that's the heartbeat of the world, and that's what you have got to hear, the heartbeat of the world. That is exactly what religion teaches, the heartbeat of the world. And then he would go on and he'd say, in the heartbeat, here's the way I want you to pray. Our Father, and then he would swear, sometimes three or four words, who art in heaven, and then three or more filthy words. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. More filthy words. Thy kingdom come. That's right. We've got to listen to the voice of the world. And I can remember saying, wait just a minute. I thought we were supposed to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, who's the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the one who comes alongside to say, this is what I want you to do. I'm not calling you to do good works. I'm calling you to obey my voice, to come into relationship. And that's why I go back again and again to the sheep, hear the master's voice. But religion's voice is deadly. It's a killer. And it's out to kill the church because it sounds so good. Let's all get together and go do X. And so we all go and do X. And we think that that's what's doing. And yet God may be saying something entirely different. And we confuse the goodness out of that tree, which is worldly goodness, rather than the goodness that comes out of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us go back now to verse 16. In John 14, and I again thank Matt so much for just taking the time to remind us the perversion that religion does to faith, believing, acknowledging, action. Action must have been preceded by a relationship with the living God, our Father. In other words, there's a relationship. And back in that same time, there was a book, and I think the guy had a right attitude. I believe he was an attorney. And he titled his book, Are You Running With Me, Jesus? In other words, the thing is, I'm doing all of these things. I hope you're going with me, Jesus. And I wanted to say, gosh, that sounds so good. But something inside me said, wait a minute, maybe we ought to turn that around. Am I running with you, Jesus? And the difference is sometimes so important because is Jesus doing what I want to do? Come on, Jesus, come along with what I want to do. Here's a good thing I'm doing. Are you running with me? No, it's supposed to be the other way around. Lord Jesus, speak your word into my heart. Enable me to believe and receive and have a relationship with you. And then let me, empowered by your resurrection life, do whatever it is we're called to do. So here we are again in John 14. And Jesus is praying for this Spirit to come. And I'm going to read it again. And I'm going to read those words that can be used in an Amplified Bible to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 now, chapter 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Do you hear that? He's going to come and be inside of us. And I'm going to continue to read. It says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And two podcasts ago, I just underscored that just briefly. Without parentage, without father, without a father who gives identity. I'm not going to leave you orphans, parentless. Parentless. God is our parent. He is our Father. And after a little while, the world will behold me no more. But you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. Verse 20, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Do you hear that? It's all by this blessed Holy Spirit that he's going to pour out. Now, they don't have it yet here in John 14, but he's preparing them to receive this great and holy gift because they don't get what he says. I'm going away, but don't worry. I'll come again. but I'm not going to come in the same form. I'm going to come in a different way. He goes on to say, in that day you shall know I'm in the Father and you in me. In verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. It's just so vitally important. He goes on to say, Judas, not Iscariot, says, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, well, isn't that a great question? And he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode or our home in him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear, the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's the 27th verse. Let me repeat again what he says. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Do you remember in the last podcast I just talked a little bit about the Bibles which have the words of Jesus in red? And I said, it's not a bad idea. Every once in a while, just go read all of the red words. And then in the situations of life, say, Father, what word are you bringing to the situation? Here's my problem, X. And you define it to the Father and you say, Father, I don't know what to do. And I don't want to go and pick out from your scripture what I think you ought to do. But would you take from the word of God, from the scripture, from the Lord Jesus, from all of the words that he has spoken that you're going to bring to our remembrance and speak to this situation? And my dear brothers and sisters, he will. He will. And in the future podcasts, I'm going to give you some examples of how he has done just that in my life. I'll give you one example as I close today. I've had cancer twice, and it's the kind of cancer that can be painful. And in the second time around with it, I was in my bedroom, and I was praying, oh God, take away this pain. This is so painful. And I'd shut the bedroom door because I didn't want my wife to hear me crying. It was so painful, and I'd done everything the doctor had said to do, and here I was crying in pain, and I kept crying. I quoted to God every verse in the Bible I could think of about healing. Isaiah 53, 1 Peter, blah, blah, blah. I quoted them all. And as I stopped in my crying, I heard that inner voice that the little sheep hear, and he said, son, ask me. And I said, well, Lord, what have I been doing? I've been quoting the scripture to you, and I believe it that you're able to heal me and take this pain away. And he said, ask me. Well, I was getting frustrated with the question that I felt the Lord was coming back at me with. Ask me? Ask you what? And I stopped and I listened, and he said, ask me to bear it with you. We're in this yoke together. And I'll tell you, something changed deep within inside me. I want to say this. The pain did not go away for several days. But it was all right. I was no longer isolated and alone in it. Jesus bore it with me. He wanted to teach me something a little bit, maybe just a speck of what Calvary is all about. And bearing. Learning how to bear with others and learning how to bear with him. And we are in the yoke together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm very grateful that during that second time, after several days, and the pain did not decrease, but it was okay. It was okay because Jesus was in it with me and was teaching me something about suffering in pain and sorrow, giving me an understanding of what other people go through and how they can hurt. And yet they cry out to God and nothing seems to happen. Well, let me tell you, something always happens when we cry out to the Lord and say, have your way in me. I'm not going to tell you what of your word to apply to me. I'm going to trust you, and you are able. Sometimes that voice comes quickly. Sometimes it comes after a while. But I guarantee you, dear brother, dear sister, fellow pilgrim, it will come. And you'll be in the yoke with Jesus together. Together in joy, in sorrow, in pain. It doesn't make any difference. You and he are one. Well, I'm going to stop there. We're going to continue with these verses in the 14th chapter next week, right into the 15th. And I invite the Holy Spirit to just simply breathe upon the things that we've been talking about. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, once again, who is our, let's say it together, our comforter, our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener, and our standby, I pray that he will be in us to bring the glory of God and his kingdom on earth. Amen and amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.